morning, I'd like to call the December 8th, 2011, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Ms. Kundig?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Sino's here as well.
All members of the board have the opportunity to view the November 10th, 2011 meeting minutes. Are there any amendments or corrections?
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Are there any questions or comments, members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Are there any announcements that any member of the board would like to bring forward? Has there been any ex parte communication among any members of the board with any respondent or any party of a case? I'd like to ask members of the audience if you would please put your cell phones either on silent mode or vibrate mode. We would appreciate it. And when you approach the dais, can you speak directly into the mic? Are there any members of council present? We'll begin with hearing our cases, beginning with case number one.
Chair, before we proceed with the update, did want to announce the changes to the agenda.
Okay.
Case number 10, which is CEP 11-11-153, which is 110 Jubilee Circle. That case is in compliance on 12-7-11. Case number 17, which is case number 12-11-166, which is at 33 North Hollywood. That case is in compliance on 12-7-11. Case number 18, which is CB 12-11-167. The address is 37 North Hollywood. That case is in compliance on 12-7-11.
That's
all I have.
Thanks, Mr. Jackson. We'll begin with our cases, again, beginning with case number one.
You want to go ahead and swear in the staff?
Oh, yes, sorry about that. Well, all members of staff will be testifying and come forward and be sworn to.
You can only swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Case number one is CEB 07-11-103 Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC. The property is located at 103 South Ocean Avenue. Is the respondent here? Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. My name is Officer Tom Clegg. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. Introduction of the case. Case number is CEB 07-11-106. City of Daytona Beach versus Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC.
106 or 103?
103, I'm sorry. Property location is 103 South Ocean. Parcel number 04-06-23-02-03-0020. Violation of the LDC, Article 19, Section 1.1, reference to IPMC 604.3 and 304.1, failure to maintain exterior and failure to maintain electrical hazard. Electrical hazard has been completed. And what I'm requesting is to amend this to the next to the February cutoff for compliance. They've done extensive work. The contractor said that he needs another 60 days for completion. He's done 4 out of I think the 10 balconies that need to be done.
Based on the testimony of the inspector, he's requesting that the board amend our order. We were today to impose a fine on the property. Based on his testimony, Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until January 4, 2012 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for imposition of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
You said till January.
February. February 1st, 2012.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Barnes. Second by Mr. Brown. Second by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number two is CEB 111152, Tambor N. Davis Management Trust, dated 6105. The property is located at 2301 South Peninsula Drive. Is the respondent here?
Good morning. Would you step to the mic and state your name, please?
Amber Davis.
Sir, are you going to be testifying?
Yes.
Arthur Wilmot.
Can you both raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Wilmot, what is your relationship to either Ms. Davis or the LLC, I mean the trust?
State certified building contractor hired by Ms. Tamara to
thank you.
Bring residents up to code.
Okay. Barbara, what can you tell us? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Collins. I'm employed by the city, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 11-11-152, City versus Tamara Davis. Property address is 2301 South Peninsula Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number is 5322-03-06-0010. We're here on Article 19, Section 1.1, reference to the Florida Building Code Supplement International Property Maintenance Code, number 304-2, 304-6, 304-7. Rottenwood on the roof, fascia and exterior doors, breast on garage door, and to paint exterior walls, window frames, fascia, door frames, and doors. City is recommending actually that we amend this to the January cutoff. The contractor has applied for permits. Also, with a set fine of $200 per day, if it's not an automatic fine to be set for $200 per day if compliance is not met by the January cutoff, and if it's not met, also to be retroactive back to today's date.
Okay. Would you like to make any comments, Ms. Davis?
Well, I've never done this before, so I don't know. I have all kinds of information that I can share with you as far as what has transpired on this property, even though the pictures don't represent very much. But they amount to the cost of $17,000 already of improvements and work with the whole thing with this property is I don't want to patch this place. I would like to put a different roof on it and extend the front, and those things take more time than just hiring a contractor to do something in 7 to 10 days.
Let me ask you a question. The inspectors recommended that we amend our order. Today we were supposed to consider imposition of a fine, but she has asked that we amend our order and allow you until January 4th, 2012 to bring the property into compliance. Do you think that's a fair enough amount of time, or should I ask the contractor?
I think if you are talking about whether or not we can paint the exterior and repair damaged wood, I think that's sufficient time. I think to do the project the right way, we should have started with drawings and the new roof and come down from that to fix fascia and paint and all those other things. To me, we're kind of going backwards.
Okay. Well, basically, we're only talking about those violations that have been cited by Ms. Collins. Again, they're failure to repair or replace all rotten wood on the roof, fascia and exterior doors, failure to paint the exterior walls, window frames, fascia, door frames, and doors. So if you can bring the property to compliance, she's recommended again that we allow you until January 4th, 2012. Understand also, if the board agrees to do that,
if it is the property is not brought into compliance, you'll have a retroactive fine back to today of $200 per day. Mm-hmm. That's Ms. Collins' recommendation.
Have you owned this property since 1210?
Yes.
You owned this property when the original violation was filed?
Yes, sir.
Does anyone have any questions of Ms.
I'd like to know what permits were applied for.
The permit I have in possession right now.
Mr. Wilmot.
Excuse me. The permit I have in possession right now is to replace two exterior doors that were in violation, the overhead garage door, the repair of the rotten soffit fascia, and bring the paint, exterior paint, into compliance.
Do you intend to do any roof work?
No. I haven't applied for that yet. We're addressing all the code
rotten,
citations.
I'm sorry, all rotten wood on the roof.
Yes. Well, that's the fascia. And, yeah, exactly.
In addition to the fascia?
No. It's the fascia wood, not the roof itself.
Right. Located at the roof line, I believe. That's how you interpret that.
Is anything leaking into the house?
No.
Based on, again, Ms. Collins' recommendation, she is asking that the board amend our order and allow the respondent until January 4, 2012 to come into compliance. If the property is not brought into compliance, she has also requested that we impose a retroactive fine back to today's date, which is December 8, 2011, at the rate of $200 per day. What's the maximum, Barbara?
Question to the contractor. Do you think you can complete all this work by January 4?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I do have a proven history with the city of resolving
no problem.
These issues. Yes, sir.
Barbara, what will be the maximum amount of the fine?
Cap is $20,000.
Again, the inspectors recommended that we allow the respondent until January 4, 2012 to come into compliance. If the property is not brought into compliance by that date, she's asking also that we impose a retroactive fine back to today, December 8, 2011, at the rate of $200 per day with a maximum amount of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Ms. Hines, second by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. And basically what we've done, Mr. Davis, we have allowed you until January 4th to come bring the property into compliance, and I'm speaking to Mr. Wilmot as well. If it is not brought into compliance by that date, we'll have a retroactive fine back to today at the rate of $200 per day with a maximum amount of $200.
Amy, did you get the five to
$20,000, excuse me.
I'm sorry?
It was a 5-2 vote?
Yes.
Okay. If you run into any problems or you have any issues, please contact Ms. Collins. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Case number 3 is CEB 051168, Christopher and Anna Eckstein. Property is located at 229 South Grandview Avenue. Is the respondent or the respondent's representative here? Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. My name is Mike Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file. Case number CEB 0511-68. City of Daytona Beach versus Christopher and Anna Etkins. Property address at 229 South Grandview Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 0915-3309-030080. I'm here for a progress report.
Okay.
Seeing that the defendants aren't here, we'd like to go ahead and do a $200 a day fine with a cap of $20,000. And he did, they did some work on the front.
Well, we have a compliance date that was set for April 4th, 2012, and today we're only here for a progress report.
Right, but if he didn't show up?
Well, it's just, that no progress had been done.
Okay, well then this is what has been done at this time.
Do you consider that substantial progress?
No, there's another one.
Okay.
There's where it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Basically painted?
Yeah, he painted the outside, put a window into the plywood, painted the plywood. I guess he fixed the top.
Does he have a contractor?
No.
Considering the fact, Michael, that we have a compliance date set at April 4, 2012, and we were only here for a progress report, we would have to amend our order, and we can only impose a fine, I believe, next month.
Right. We previously seen the prior order states that if the board finds there's been a lack of progress, the board reserves the right to take any and all acts necessary, which could include the imposition of a fine.
We find any.
Okay.
And the problem is that we find is on the permits, it's a commercial property, and he pulled them as an owner without a contractor. And can he pull the permits? Not as an owner, no.
And a homestead.
So when it goes to be finaled, it won't be able to, because the contractor has to then call for it.
So was he able to pull a permit?
Yes, but it was. But it's a commercial property. I think that's what he said. Yeah.
I'm not going to finalize it.
So he doesn't have a permit?
No.
He does.
Why don't we give it to him?
If I may interject a thought, I believe because it's not a homestead property, he can't pull his own permit.
Correct.
So he doesn't have a permit?
Well, it's kind of twofold.
Okay. Please explain.
Okay. Because of the fact that the property is not homesteaded, as Mr. Chair has stated, by law he has to get a contractor to pull the permits. However,
understood.
He did obtain a permit from the building department in error. So, again, it's kind of a twofold. He does have a permit. But theoretically, he's not going to be able to get any final inspections unless he hires a contractor to confirm the work that he's done, and then building can go out and pass the inspections.
So technically, the fault is on the city's end for giving him a permit without a contractor.
Well, he pulled a permit just for the front porch, replacing rotten wood, but he did replace a window, put a window on the top floor.
He overexceeded himself with the permit that he had originally put.
What he got a permit to do, he exceeded.
Correct. So you see where it's twofold.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
Yes, he has a permit, but no, he doesn't. Some of the work he did do was done without a permit.
Right.
See that window, Barbara? Can you freeze back? See that window in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
He painted the plywood and stuck a window in there. Not to cook. It looks up, he's trying to make it look all right, but.
Well, are we allowed to rescind our previous compliance date?
Michael, what's your recommendation in terms of a fine?
Yes. Is he still around?
The question was, is he still, have you had any contact with him since the last code?
No, I've seen them working on the property as I drove by. But I haven't, no, and he hasn't made contact with either one of us.
What's your recommendation in terms of a fine?
Our recommendation is that we go ahead and fine him the $200 a day and cap it at $20,000.
$200 per day?
Is there people in there, living there?
Yes.
We also add to our motion that it be vacated if it's not safe. Say it doesn't need code, that one doesn't need code.
Yeah, I don't know about the safety part.
Okay.
Mike, I have a problem with this.
Yes, sir.
We have an April 4 compliance date. There has been some work done. I think this has to be clarified. I don't think it's fair to find him immediately when we've given him all the way until April.
Well, we've been working with him for a long time. Mm-hmm. The very first thing that the board had told him to get a contractor and to pull the permit, and he did that to knock down the porch. Then they told him again to get a contractor to fix the outside and to pull a permit. So he pulled the permit, but the part that he didn't do, which was the part that he needed to get a contractor and have a window permit pulled to make sure the window has the correct wind load. So, I mean...
In all fairness, I see the challenge. He's doing work, but he's not doing work with the permit.
Right.
And I would almost want to have him here to question him.
And it's a three-unit apartment building, so it's a commercial
right.
property, and he doesn't live there.
Right.
So it's tenants, and it's on the main thoroughfare coming into the city, so it's a real eyesore for us. And we've been working, y'all worked with him really
right.
a lot.
I mean, it looks better. That was one of the main things we were reaching for, is for it to look better. Now
yes,
that
sir.
He's done it himself versus getting a contractor, I'd rather, you know... Because he's making progress.
Yeah, but when you do it...
Unfortunately, he's not doing the progress the right way.
Right.
Mr. Chair. Thanks, Mr. Brown. I disagree for this reason. If there was no tenants there, and I'm sure they're paying a fee per month, this is the problem I have. And we have been going back and forth with it. And I think when you step into a commercial, there are certain drawbacks you have, and this is one of them.
As I recall, we asked him for a progress report
mm-hmm.
every month, and that he had said that he could spend, I think it was the wife that said that they could spend up to $1,000 a month on repairs. Mm-hmm. They estimated it would cost a certain amount of money. I don't see that kind of money, because that was many months ago that we asked for that.
Sure. I'd like to ask you or Mrs. Sino a question, because the city has made an error, and it doesn't justify the fact that he's doing the work and the permit was issued in error.
Mm-hmm.
What position does that put the code board?
We're an independent unit. Obviously, we can accept the city's error and give them relief, but we're independent of the city. We don't have to do that if we don't want to.
Okay.
Not our mistake.
Right.
And my opinion is that the error, or the apparent error, doesn't address the current position of violation, which is that he's not doing the sufficient amount of work. That's what the fact, even if he believed he was operating with a valid permit, he's not doing the efficient amount of work,
mm-hmm.
substantial progress, or at least that's what we're asking you guys to determine.
Okay.
I just want to remind the board, and this is something that's not very usual for us, so just some things to think about, that this case, the affidavit of violation is dated April 18, 2011. In this situation, you had asked for a progress report, and we had provided a provision for allowing you to sanction. I think you have to approach the question of sanction two ways. One is to ask the question, are you sanctioning to say that he is not making sufficient progress and you don't believe that this will come into compliance and it's time to call this an end? We're done with this case from that perspective, and we can see him in the future when he gets everything done. That's one way you can look at this. Or you can look at this, are you sanctioning him because he did not do the act for this event at this time, and you're only sanctioning him for not coming and showing up and giving a compliance report? I think you can approach it either way, and either with a fixed fine sanctioning because he didn't come and show and respond to progress and continue to keep the case open until compliance date, or you can say you can accelerate the compliance date because you've put him on notice, and say that we're done. That's my perspective, and I think you probably should hear from your counsel.
The only issue
well.
Is the notice issue, and I'm satisfied that he had notice. The Charlotte County case, where, you know, if he didn't have notice, and we were going ahead and saying he didn't make any progress, he didn't even know about the meeting, that's one thing. That's what happened in Charlotte County.
Right.
But that's not what's happened here. He knows about the progress.
He was present. He was given the opportunity to be heard, and he was obviously noticed that he had to be back for this meeting to provide progress. You're hearing the progress perspective from the city, as well as being shown the photographs, and now it's up to you guys to make a decision. Is it substantial progress, which was the requirement under the ordinance, and I mean under the order, and if he's not making substantial progress, how do you choose to sanction him?
Yeah. I have one other thing I'd like to throw in, and I agree with points. We could go either way. But I feel when someone comes here and they have contact with us and with the officer, they have agreed that what progress and who is determining progress. It's the officer determining progress and then presents it to us. But I think you are expected to negotiate in good faith, and I don't see that. I don't see a sufficient progress. The officer doesn't see sufficient progress. So he's not meeting the agreement that he made with this board, which we extended this, gave him this very long period to do this. And I'm just not in favor of continuing to extend that period to April.
I have a question, and it's not indicative of my position in terms of this case and with the action we're going to take today. But the precedent has been by this board that the respondent doesn't necessarily have to show up when a progress report is required.
Right. Right.
So that should also be taken into consideration in terms of whether or not the respondent showed up today. And again, that's not indicative of my position or opinion about what we're going to the action we're going to take.
Mr.
Today.
Chair,
but I wanted to thought forward.
Even though he, that may be what the board has done in the past. He has not made contact. Mr. Fitzgerald said he hasn't made any contact with him or made any effort to get in touch with him and didn't even provide him with a progress report to bring here. So that would be my comment on.
And my main point is it's not necessarily that part, but it's the we told him to get the contractor that's a commercial building. I told him twice that he has to go ahead. Even though he pulled it, I told him to go ahead and get a contractor on that. And I said, write on it, Suzanne Jones wrote. When she calls for a final, they better have a contractor. And that's my point, that's where he hasn't done.
And Mr. Chair, just for further clarification, I don't believe that the staff is asking for sanction because he's not here. Not making the progress.
And I understand that, and I just wanted to make that point.
What is, Mike, what's left to be done? Okay, if
what left to be done. That was
on
the
exterior.
Yeah, that was just that was the beginning. There's the front end is, the sidewalks are broken.
We got peeling paint, rotting wood, screen, broken window.
Right. There was a.
Make sure we're not getting the cases mixed up.
Okay.
I see that the board has two options. One is to go ahead and issue a fine to him so bad. If they feel there's a confusion that he made progress or he should have been here, you can certainly have the right to impose a fine at the next meeting. That's your option. But I wouldn't wait until April. I've heard enough information today that I'm not going to wait until April. But that's your options.
But again, based on my, again, not necessarily, it's not indicative of what I'm going to say or the way I'm going to vote. But again, and it's based on comments from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Cicino just now, that we should not penalize the respondent simply because he's not here. And I understand what Mr. Jackson was saying as well. The fact that he's not here has no bearing on the progress or lack thereof, because in the past we have allowed respondents to present information to the inspector, or the inspector presents information regarding progress. So I don't want to penalize the respondent simply because he didn't make his presence known here today.
On the painting issue, he painted the...
And I'm speaking to the board, not staff, when I say that.
And just so I can clarify my position, it's not that you should penalize him. It's just that we weren't asking for that to be the basis. That's not our basis for the penalty. You can penalize him for not being here if you so desire. That's reasonable. I'm not saying that's unreasonable.
Yeah, on the paint issue, he painted the bottom half of the building, not the top half. On the rotten wood, there is still rotten wood. He's repaired. What he did this month was make the front look good. The rest of it, that's all. He mainly worked on the front.
Well, and that was one of the specifics.
That was one of the specifics. But again, he did it without
the front because of where it's positioned.
He did it again without the contractor, and he put a window in that's not to code. That's really what that's all I'm talking about.
Michael, just for the record, you said that he repaired the wood on the front, but where's the violation in terms of the rest of the property or the dwelling?
Well, the painting is the whole property.
The rotten wood. Let's address that because you said he addressed the wood on the front.
Right. Okay. So if you see the picture, that one right there.
If you're facing the front to the right. There's still a problem with rotten wood on the right.
On the right and around the back and the back building.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear that for the record.
Yes, sir.
And he also noted Montanita's fear that he would have to get someone to paint that top. Right. And I assume contractor or whatever. But he didn't make that statement.
On the pictures we're seeing, is the top painted?
No. If we'll go to the finished.
There.
You see the bottom underneath the, right at the window, you'll see the nice and fresh paint, and then you'll see, well, no, that back picture, yeah, the top's not painted. The top is not painted. The bottom is.
And just for the record, if I'm speaking correctly, it doesn't take a contractor to paint or a permit.
Right.
Okay.
I think here the city has set, the board has set an April 4th compliance date, and I don't think it's proper for us to go ahead and fine him today on the basis of our error in setting it up to April. I think we should set a meeting for next month to fish or cut bait. Either he's set a new compliance date of next month, and at that juncture, then he can be fined properly, I think.
Now, that's the January meeting.
That's the January meeting, yes. I think it's unwise to let this go till April. That was our mistake.
Mr. Chair, I think the reason that we got caught up in the April date is because he was going to apply for CRA funds, which aren't available. So that's how that April, I think, I recall that's how that, you know, it takes 8 months. Somebody had said, testified that it took 8 months to get the CRA funds. They came back, and then those funds weren't going to be available. But I don't think we changed then the compliance date. The fact that he's not here doesn't bother me that much. The fact that there has been no substantial progress and that he has made no contact with the code officer, and that we have been dealing with this case month after month after month, and painting the bottom of a building, I could probably reach and paint what he painted in less than a day. And he has not done what we have asked him to do, and I think, Mr. Sino, last time we made an exception that we said if substantial progress wasn't made, we could then fine him. And he was here, and he heard that. So I have no problem with entering a fine starting today or whenever.
Would you like to make a motion? Either any member of the board like to make a motion?
I'd like to move that we institute a fine, I don't know how to say it, beginning today on this property.
How much?
Is it up to $200? Would that be right? Commercial property?
No, actually, the inspector, I believe, Mike.
Yeah, well, let's hear what Mike has to say.
A fine of $200 a day with a cap of $20,000.
That's his recommendation, but you can
vote
that, or you can suggest your own.
I go with what Mr. Fitzgerald
says. Does that mean he must be compliant? When does he have to be compliant then? If we're setting in the date now that the fine does, there is no compliance date anymore.
I think we're putting the cart before the horse. I think we have to amend that compliance date.
I'll withdraw the motion and we'll
I would like to do that. Amend that compliance date and then talk about firing him. I don't
like to make a motion.
If the compliance date is April, that's when it is. So, we've got to do that.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect, Mr. Aaron?
I would like to make a motion that we amend the compliance date to January 4th, 2012.
The hearing to impose a fine at the January meeting?
And we will impose a fine at the January meeting.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Borens. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
We need to let him know that the board was concerned about his progress. We went back at the next meeting, the January meeting. We would consider a fine at that point. Will the order reflect that?
The tabulator of the order is done. So the order would say...
Be here in January.
It would have the amended compliance date along with the specific date that he's required to appear if it's not in compliance.
That's fine.
And Mike, if you see him, let him know.
I would expect that the inspector would advise him of the things that you've said if he makes the contact.
I have an email address for them, and I will
send
them an email.
The board basically needs a
break.
Yes. I understand that. I'm not going to do it. I'm sure not going to do it. I can't speak to the board, but I'll be going to do it again.
Okay.
I think it should also be noted that I like Mr. Jackson's tie.
But not the order.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Case number 4 is CEB 1011140, Christopher and Anna Eckstein. The property is located at 229 South Grandview Avenue.
My name is Officer Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 10-11-140, City of Daytona Beach versus Christopher and Anna Eckstein. Property address is 229 South Grandview Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 0915330903-0080. Violations are dilapidated windows and doors, damaged interior walls, roach infestation, damaged floor tiles, non-working heat, and non-working smoke detectors. As you recall, last month's hearing, I had handed over my business card on the record, letting him know that he wasn't contacting me and to contact me for this reinspection that he stated that was already some issues were taken care of. Mm-hmm. He has not contacted me since. I have not heard from him nor seen him. I've been doing drive-bys, and I haven't seen him doing work around the property. But I'm here today to ask for a fine of $250 a day until compliance is achieved, capped at $20,000. I heard this statement unfair, questions unfair. I think it's unfair that he has not contacted me. Notices went out, returned unsigned. I've been at the property doing postings, doing drive-bys and whatnot, seen him here a couple times and spoke to him, and still no contact.
Mr. Chair, I know due diligence has been done with regards to, we have to make sure we're looking at both cases. But with regards to this case, I know due diligence was done. He looked directly at Danny the last time he was here. Danny handed him his card. And so if there are no further questions, I'd like to impose a fine of $250 a day with a maximum of
$20,000,
capped at $20,000?
$20,000, correct.
Are there three tenants in there?
From what Mike stated that they were, I haven't seen it. I seen them the day that I did the inspection. There were three or four, I believe. I've heard from the lady at the store that manages the store across the street from there. She told me there was tenants there. This case has been open since April 13th. This is 8 months now.
He hasn't denied there being tenants, though.
Yeah,
he hasn't denied.
Right, and he did state it at the last hearing.
I noticed that it says here, consider effective November 10. You want the fine effective as of today?
That'd be fine, yes. Correct.
Is that your motion, Mr. Brown?
Yes, it is.
Ms. Hines, I have the second.
Ms. Hines, effective as of today, correct?
Effective today, yes.
I'm sorry.
Did you have a second?
Ms. Hines, I have the second.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mrs. Hines.
Brown.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown. No, you said Mr. Bourne. Oh. We look around, but not that close.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mrs. Hines. So the question and comments by members of the board.
Please, it says consider effective 11-10-11.
That was my remark, but it's right. Today. As I
so it should be
making it effective today. Today.
No, it should be today.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to clear.
Just a question that for the lawyers. When you have an identical property and you split inside and outside, do both fines apply or should?
No. Each case is considered separate.
So they'll be separate, so yes. They'll have to potentially pay two separate fines. Okay.
Not yet. Are there additional questions or comments from members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. And case number 5 is CEB 1011141, Ronald Murphy Combs. Property is located at 407 Harvey Avenue, and that property is in compliance as of November 29, 2011. Case number 6 is CEB 1011150, Patty D. Webb. Property is located at 731 Derbyshire Road. Respondents coming forward. Good morning.
Can you just step up to the microphone and state your name, please?
Morning. My name's Patty D. Webb.
Use your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
You can move that mic if you need to, Ms. Webb. John, what can you tell us about it? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed by the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications and certifications are on file with the city. This is case CEB 10-11-150, City of Daytona Beach versus Patty D. Webb. Property address is 731 Derbyshire Road. Parcel ID is 5238-0805-0050. The violations for this property were a dirty swimming pool, dilapidated fencing, dilapidated roofing, and peeling paint on the exterior surfaces. We're here today for a progress report on the property. My last re-inspection of the property was on December 6th, this Tuesday. There has been work done on the fencing. It's not complete yet. The last time I was on property with the property owner, the pool had been drained. So the fencing is currently being addressed. The dirty pool has been addressed. The roof and the peeling paint still need to be addressed.
Ms. Weber, would you like to make any comments, Ms. Webb? You can see up to Ms. Webb. Hold on, Ms. Webb. Come to the mic and speak if you would. Thank you.
I repaired the north side of the fence, replaced 5 panels there. I repaired the south side of my fence, replaced the warbly that I was told that didn't look straight. I replaced that. There's nothing else that needs to be done with my fence. It's in compliance. As far as I'm concerned, it's in compliance. I've done my best. I'm at wit's end. I'm a widow. I'm working. I'm living from paycheck to paycheck, trying to make ends meet. I got a neighbor next door that made this complaint to me. She even tried to prevent me from having my fence repaired on the one side, which I had to call Mr. Stinson out and the police because she was out there videotaping me, harassing me, bullying me. I'm just sick of this. I'm minding my own business. I'm trying to make things appear. And if it wasn't for this woman next to me, I wouldn't even be facing these problems today. I can't. I threw my hands up to God. I give up.
Let's get some clarification then so you'll better understand what's going on as well from the inspector.
Got an updated letter also about assistance that I'm supposed to have on the roof, and it doesn't look like I'm even going to get that.
So John, would you clarify for Ms. Webb what you feel is still not in compliance?
Yes. Yes, the fencing on the property goes completely around the property. You have chain link on the front, and there's privacy in the back right here, you can see. As you can see, as you go further back, at the end of those pictures, or rather at the end of that fence line, there's still a portion of the fence that has not been done. There's fencing that also goes the length of the rear of the property. I didn't have access on Tuesday to see that, but what I could see from the city right away, it hadn't been addressed yet. You go to the north side of the building or of the structure, and there's also been some fencing replaced. So there is progress being made. However, it's just not done yet, that's all. As you can see by the picture right there, clearly the roof still has to be worked on. Yeah. And like I said, the pool issue has been corrected.
South side of my yard.
Ms. Webb, when you speak, you have to speak into the mic.
They did the best they could with the tree. Going down the driveway there, they did the best right there. They did the best that they could because of the tree on my neighbor's yard. We can't cut their tree down. We did the best we could there.
You understand what Mr. Stinson is saying is not in compliance in terms of the fence?
Not really. As far as I'm concerned, you know, it's straight. It's.
Would you explain again, John?
The fencing on the rear of the property, not the sides, but on the back side of the property.
That's not all lovely. It's just maybe two panels that need to be re-nailed back in. That's it. I'll have to go to their yard and get permission to go into their backyard.
Okay.
And
I'm willing to set an appointment to come out so we can actually go back to the back, because I didn't have access on Tuesday, and we'll take a look at it again, if you like.
What's your recommendation in terms of action, John?
Currently, we're just here for a progress report. She still has plenty of time till February of next year. Hopefully, within that time, she may be able to get some more resources to help her with the roof. And I would say just keep going as she's going.
John, I recall that Avis had written a letter and she was looking for help from that agency that Avis represented.
You have it right there.
Correct,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
Number 107.
Wow.
Just for the record, we do have in our possession as the board a letter from the city stating that Ms. Webb has duly applied for assistance.
Right.
So that isn't in order.
Right.
But she's number 175 on the list.
And it does say it might be a priority because of the code.
Right.
So maybe she'll get moved up.
City is considering providing assistance for the roof repair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a compliance date for February 1st, 2012, and today we were just here to hear a progress report. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Okay. Do you have any questions or comments, Ms. Webb? Any additional comments or questions? Okay. If you have any problems or questions, please contact Mr. Stinson. Okay. Thank you. Case number 7 is CEB 1111154. I believe that's Ingira Echeverria. Property is located at 610 Colfax Drive. Mr. Respondent here. Can you tell us about it, John?
Good morning. I'm John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the city. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 11-11-154, City of Daytona Beach versus Ajiro Echeverria.
Echeverria.
It's written down. Property address is 610 Colfax Drive. The parcel ID is 5238-15-03-0100. We are here to discuss the violation of not having an occupational license for rental property.
Has the respondent applied for an occupational license as of yet, to your knowledge?
He has applied. There have been two rental inspections on the property, one on 11/15, and the other at 11/18. He has failed both.
Can you tell us why?
I don't have the list from the building inspector.
Okay.
But in his notes, he failed on the 18th for whatever reason. He failed on the 15th. And the only notation for the 15th was that there was a no-show from the property owner for the inspection.
Does he have a tenant?
Is the property occupied?
Yes, it is.
So there are tenants in there?
Yes, there are.
Gotcha.
And the city is recommending one-time administrative fee of $250.
I have a question for either Mr. Cino or Mr. Jackson. If we impose the one-time administrative fee today, is there any possible chance that the respondent can ask for a review on an administrative fee?
Does he want to provide for that?
Yeah, because that $250 administrative fee is just that restrictive fine aspect. It doesn't take us out of the realm of 162 okay. review. So, yeah, he would have the same element of review as everything.
I know one of our concerns in the past was that we could only do the $250 one-time fee, and that's per year, correct?
Yes.
So technically, when we find him, because it's December, we can come back in January and find him again just to give him a little encouragement to get this property inspected. Am I correct?
If and only if there's a new case, if I'm speaking correctly.
Right.
And only if there's a new
case.
Yeah. Technically, that's correct. You have to understand that our calendar year is different from permits and licensing billing year. So it may not be January or February. It's wherever the building department's billing in the billing cycle ends.
Okay. So it's not based on the calendar.
Correct.
Okay. No problem.
At this point, he's not being cited for any code violations, though.
That's correct. The only violation is occupational license.
Okay. Based on the testimony of the inspector, chair would entertain a motion imposing a one-time $250 administrative fee upon the property. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Ms. Brown. I believe the second one's Bourne's.
Mr. Smart.
Mr. Smart. I heard the voice, but I thought Mr. Bourne's got his in first.
I'm not right.
Okay. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, John. Case number 8 is CEB 111158 Land Trust 554 Cedar, dated 11/17/09. The property is located at 554 Cedar Street. Mr. Respondent here. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Eddie Lopez, code enforcement officer with the City of Daytona Beach. Case number is CEB 111158 Land Trust 554 Cedar DTD. Property address is 554 Cedar Street. I received an email. Property owners out of California received the email late evening. She still has the tenants living in this single family. She's trying to evict them and obtain a occupational license. She still has not made the repairs. Still has the tenants living there. So the city is requesting $100 a day for each day of noncompliance.
Effective what day?
Today. Effective today.
That's the two-story that's on the corner of Cedar and Division, if I remember correctly, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. This is a two-story single family that she...
My question, I guess, would be for the attorneys. If she's trying to evict, how long does that process take?
Usually 30 to 60 days. Do we have any kind of paperwork saying it's actually happened?
No, sir.
Okay.
And if the board members would remember, Mr. Lopez attempted many times, mm-hmm. based on his testimony, to try to contact the property mm-hmm. owner, and he was not able to do so. And this case has gone on since September 27, 2011.
This is the dorm living, and I heard you say repair.
Well, there's another case open on repairs. It's another case that was open on that.
How many people are living in there, do you know?
She cut the divided the house up into three apartments, if you will. The rear is one apartment. The first floor is one. Another apartment in the second floor is the third apartment. There's a picture there showing the deviation of the first floor and the second floor. They have different doors. You see here, it's the first door here to the left and to the right.
Different meters?
No, it's 1 meter. It's a single family residence.
What's your recommendation, Eddie?
$100 a day for each day of noncompliance.
Cap.
At $20,000.
I have a question, Eddie. You said that. Did you say you received an email from the landowner?
Yes, I received the email yesterday, late afternoon, 3:08 p.m.
Did he or she provide an accurate mailing address also?
Negative. She just informed me that she's trying to evict and do the repairs and obtain a license, which not even an application has been submitted.
Because of the, I guess, the business entity, we have an address of 924 Colonial Drive.
That is an active and current address, but she's out of California. I believe some family member or someone attending the property is out of Colonial in Orlando.
$100 a day.
Eddie, did someone appear last month?
No, ma'am.
No, no one has appeared at all? Okay.
I take that back. I'm sorry. It was a friend of hers
right.
that came in. Yes.
Right. I remember
yes.
that. And what did that friend say? I can't remember what
she
that
was. She didn't have too much information. She stated that the property owner was coming from California
right.
and that she was going to get in contact with me. She did leave a message on my phone. I'd set a date to do the inspection with her. She was a no-show.
Okay. Thank you.
Based on the testimony of the inspector, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $100 per day effective today, December 8, 2011, until compliance is achieved with a cap, a maximum amount of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Borns. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign.
But, Mr. Chair, I would like to see on the other fine because I was a little lost here on the other problem.
Do you mean the other case? Yes. The additional case for this property?
Yes.
Is that one on the agenda?
I apologize. I currently don't have information on that in front of me. I can't.
It's not a case. I don't think it's a case.
We can't.
You haven't brought it here yet.
Right. I did.
You did?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's been presented to the board. I just don't have the information with me. I apologize to the board. I don't have it presently in front of me.
So it wasn't due to be back to us today, then?
No,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. Case number 9 is CEB 1111159 HFDB LLC. The property is located at 100 North Nova Road. Is the respondent here? Eddie, this one's yours as well.
Yeah. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. Case number is CEB 1111159, City of Daytona Beach versus HFDB LLC. Property is 100 North Nova Road. I'd like to ask the board for a continuance until the next month. The property has been, in my opinion, cured. The violation has been cured, but I want to speak with the zoning official and management on any odds and ends that still need to be addressed. I have not had that chance. I sent an email to the zoning office, and I'm still waiting word on anything with the permit. So any odds and ends that still need to be addressed. As you can see with the pictures that I took yesterday, they have put sod down, and I'll wait until pictures come up here. They have put sod down, and it looks like the grading was came into compliance. This is the picture currently. Have put a sod
and it seems to be the violation cured. I just want to make sure that with the zoning officer, there's no other odds and ends, and they need to be addressed.
As part of the violation, Eddie, you also indicated there was no permit for construction. Did they acquire a permit?
Yes, it's under review with the zoning officer.
Okay.
Just still waiting word on more info.
Okay. Based on the testimony of the inspector, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until January 4, 2012 to come into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Such a motion. Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes, please. Eddie, that orange fencing that's all around there, is that a safety issue? Is that something that's required to be
yes,
up there?
Yes, it's required because they're doing work on that section, okay. That area there, if you will. It will be removed once the permit is finalized.
Okay.
If they're planning to do any other work, it needs to be up, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Same sign. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
Case number 10, CEB 1111153, is in compliance as of January
7th, 2011.
December 7th, 2011. Something about these dates for me today. Does any member of the board like to take a brief break before we move forward with our new cases?
Oh, you're here for which? The
can we allow
case?
That? We can allow that, right, Tony?
Okay. I was
we can allow Mr. Jackson.
I'm sorry.
Are you speaking on a case, Charles? Or
yes. I just want to update the board on it'll be number six, case number CEB 10-11-150. Ms. Webb.
Oh, okay. Let me swear in, Charles.
Okay.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I just wanted to make the board aware that I did speak with Ms. Webb shortly outside. I took her down to community development. I talked to Avis Wilkinson and advised her of the emergency that existed with Ms. Webb and code enforcement. They have since moved her up on the list. She's down getting her paperwork, get processed through community development to help her with the system for the roof.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
Good.
And thank you for assisting with Mr. Cloud as well. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning.
Case number 11 is CEB 1211160, Marquise S. Williams. The property is located at 1016 Cadillac Drive. She responded here.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 1211160, City of Daytona Beach versus Marquise S. Williams. Property address 1016 Cadillac, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID 11153203000260. The violations are LDC Article 8, Section 2.7, parking a vehicle on an unimproved surface. Also, LDC Article 17, Section 2.189, parking a commercial vehicle in a residential neighborhood. The statutory requirements for notification of this hearing have been met by certified mail sent to the property owner at the address listed. The green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail to the property owner. All of the items for this case, as well as the photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through H. The originals have been submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for their use during this hearing. There has been no contact of any kind with this property owner. The property is in non-compliance and should come into compliance by the next cutoff or return for a possible fine.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to find the property non-compliant next cutoff.
January. I just have a question.
Go ahead.
Mr. Jackson, did we ever have this before? Because seemingly we did, and we find them, and there was he never did show up. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't recall.
I can say, Ms. Himes, if there were a fine for these issues, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be back again. We can't bring That's up a case for exactly thinking. The same
okay.
thing, right?
Okay.
And we have a motion by Mr. Brown.
No.
I'll second.
And a second by Mr. Bowens. Other questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number 12.
Mr. Jackson, you was.
Go ahead, Ms. Himes.
Yes. I was going to hear what Mr. Jackson started to say.
Go ahead.
Okay.
No, I was just correcting the inspector, that's all. I was correcting the inspector. Okay. I mean, we do bring back, that's the repeat violation, of course. Right. You know, that's something that happened before, but I guess she may not be aware of a prior violation.
Right, there was no running fine on the property for these issues.
Okay. Case number 12, CEB 1211161, is in compliance as of December 7th, 2011. Case number 13 is CEB 1211162.
Not 12.
Hmm? What was that date, Tony? Wasn't
17. Oh, 12 is. Was it? Was in compliance, so it's not in compliance. I thought. My compliance case is for number 17 and number 18.
Oh, 17 and 18. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. My error. Sorry.
When we back on 12?
12-7, so yeah. Maybe that's 12,
17 was 12-7?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote it on the wrong one.
And 18 was 12-7.
Okay. What would I do without the members of this board? And staff.
We're still in vacation mode.
And actually, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 are all the same violator.
Contiguous right. lots, same violations, same owner. So okay. we're going to bundle.
Right.
So the question is, could we, and this is probably a question from Mr. Cino.
At the same time?
Yeah, can we at least hear them at the same time? Individually, sites and however you handle them, but hear them at the same time would be appropriate. They're all
connected. Motions have to be.
But I'll read each case.
This number 16 seems to be a building, however, as opposed to the others.
That's 11 North Hollywood you're referring to?
Yeah, that's
yes,
not
that's
the same
Yes,
one.
That's a building. That's different. We're not including that one.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Just
okay.
12 through 15.
Okay.
Does Vicki have to recite her qualifications five times?
No, she just does it once.
Okay.
She's reading all the cases into the year.
And that's 12 through 15. That would be the same?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, case number 12 is CEB 1211161. Along with case number 13, which is CEB 1211162, case number 14, which is CEB 1211163, case number 15, CEB 1211164, all have the same respondent, and the respondent has indicated actually there's a difference in 14 and 15. You have two names versus one. So should we do 12 and 13 and then do 14 and 15 together?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back and start with case number 12. Case number 12 is CEB 1211161. And case number 13, CEB 1211162. The respondent is Thomas S. I guess that's Cianabla. And the property is appears to be a vacant lot, which is located on North Hollywood Avenue. The parcel number is 5304031900090. And for case number 13, parcel number 5304031900080.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 1211161 and case number CEB 1211162. Both are Daytona Beach versus Thomas S. Cianablo. Property address is lot 9 and lot 8. North Hollywood, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID is 01453303190090 and 04153303190080. Violations on both lots are Land Development Code Article 8, Section 3.5, all fencing shall be upright, plumb, and in good condition. LDC Article 19, Section 1.1, reference Florida Building Code Supplement IPMC 302.4, all lots and lawns shall be well maintained. The statutory requirements for notification of this hearing have been met by sending certified mail to the property owner at the address listed at the property appraiser's office. The green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail to the property owner. All of the items for this case, as well as the photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through B, and the originals have been submitted to the clerk for evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for their use during this hearing. There has been no contact with the property owner. The city finds the property in noncompliance and is looking for the next cutoff for compliance and possibly imposing a fine.
Based on the testimony of the inspector for cases 12 and case 13, the chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allow the respondent until January 4, 2012 to bring the properties into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved. So moved.
A motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 14 and case number 15 are as follows. Case number 14 is CEB 1211163, Thomas S. Cianablo and Peter J. Cianablo. The property is located on North Hollywood Avenue. The short parcel number is 5304-03190070, and that references the case number 14 property. Case number 15. Property is also located at North Hollywood Avenue. The short parcel number is 5304-03190060. Vicki?
My name is Vicki Lankford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 1211163 and case number CEB 1211164, City of Daytona Beach versus Thomas S. Cianablo and Peter J. Cianablo. Property address, Lot 6 and Lot 7, North Hollywood, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 04153303190060 and 04153303190070. Both are in violation of LDC Article 8, Section 3.5. All fencing shall be upright, plumb, and in good condition. LDC Article 19, Section 1.1, reference the Florida Building Code, supplement the International Property Maintenance Code, Article 302.4. All lots shall be well maintained. The statutory requirements for notification on this hearing have been met by sending certified mail to the property owner at the address listed with the property appraiser's website. The green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail to the property owner. All of the items for this case, as well as photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through B, and the originals have been submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for their use during this hearing. There has been no contact at all with the property owner. We find the property in noncompliance, and we would like to have them return or return it for the next cutoff for compliance or possible imposing of a fine.
Based on the testimony of the inspector, Vicki Lankford, chair would entertain a motion finding a respondent for cases 14 and 15 in noncompliance and allow the respondent until January 4, 2012 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Ms. Himes. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number 16 is CEB 12111165 Thomas S. Cianabla. Property is located at 11 North Hollywood Avenue.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 12111165, City of Daytona Beach versus Thomas S. Cianablo. The property address is 11 North Hollywood, Daytona Beach, Florida, parcel ID 04153303190100. Violations are Land Development Code Article 18, Section 7.3, Outside Storage. Land Development Code Article 8, Section 3.8, All fencing shall be upright, plumb, and in good repair. LDC Article 19, Section 2.2, Reference Florida Building Code, Supplement International Property Maintenance Code Article 304.2, Exterior surfaces shall be free of mold, mildew, and peeling paint. In addition to City Ordinance 90-297, all rental properties must be licensed. The statutory requirements for notification for this hearing have been met by sending certified mail to the property owner at the address listed with the property appraiser's office. The green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail to the property owner. All of the items for this case, as well as the photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through H, and the originals have been submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for their use during this hearing. No contact at all with the property owner. It's in noncompliance. We're looking for compliance by the next cutoff or returning for the possible imposition of a fine.
Sorry, I have to do that to you, Vicki. Chair would based on the testimony of the inspector, Vicki Langford, Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until January 4, 2012 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
I have a motion. Second. Second. Brown. Second by Ms. Kundig. Second by Ms. Kundig. Hold on just a moment. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Mrs. Smart.
Okay, there's really two things here. One has to do with the outside storage, the fencing and so on. The other has to do with the occupational license. Can you consider a fine for the first part and then a one-time $250?
I'm glad you pointed that out. Mr. Brown.
Well, ma'am.
I will admit,
but he hasn't been found to be in non-compliance yet.
Well, we can do it all at once. Correct.
I'm sorry?
We usually do it all in one shot.
Yes.
Finding compliance and
putting the
or be returned
the fine.
Do a motion to give you an occupational license issue.
Mr. Brown, would you consider amending your motion?
Yes, sir.
Find them in compliance, non-compliance first.
All right. I'd like to amend finding him in non-compliance and allowing him until
January 4th
to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time fee of $250 administrative fee for his non-occupational license. For this motion,
and
plus the allow him to come into compliance or be returned for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day for the remaining of the issue.
Okay, Mrs. Kundig.
Second.
Okay.
I'm second.
Other, thank you, Mrs. Smart.
Sorry.
Are there additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign.
That guy's smart.
I get you confused, Mr. Warren.
Case number 17 is CEB 12111166, which is in compliance as of December 7th, 2011. Case number 18, CEB 12111167, is also in compliance as of December 7th, 2011. Is there any miscellaneous business that should be discussed by any member of the board? Any member of staff have any miscellaneous business? I have one comment myself. I'd like to wish everybody either a happy Hanukkah, a very Merry Christmas, and a happy New Year. We will not meet again until after the first of the year. I hope all persons in all households to be safe and be blessed in the new year and have a very happy holiday season.
We get our Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's in the mail.
Thank you.
I would like to say to all Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Are you adjourned?
We are adjourned.